From Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Leah the Prophetess, Parshat Vayetze. The Tzror HaMor, a Spanish commentator who was expelled from Spain in 1492, like all the other Jews, went to Portugal, where he lived for 4 years until the Jews were forcibly converted. Then he managed to sneak out on a boat. However, he had to bury all his Sfarim and his commentary that he had written first in Portugal, Bereishis. The rest he wrote first in Spain, up to Bereishis, and all the rest of the commentary he wrote in Portugal, all buried, all lost forever. When he came to North Africa, the Jews in Morocco helped to feed him and clothe him. And he was able to write from memory a commentary on Torah. And he included a kuntras, a special pamphlet, so to speak, on the tribes. And he wanted to do the following. Take the words of Leah, which he viewed as a prophecy of things yet to come, compare it to the blessings of Jacob to the 12 tribes, and compare it to the blessings of Moses. Now, the most challenging ones to compare are that of Levi, and even perhaps Yehuda, and we'll focus on that today. See, Levi is cursed in the blessings of Jacob, is blessed in the blessings of Moses, and then it says something that seems innocuous and not so special regarding what Leah's vision was. It said, this time my husband will come to me because I gave birth to three sons. The very cute interpretation of the Chizkuni, which Torah More does not mention, is that when she had one son, he didn't like her. He didn't like her that much, though. He doesn't care. He's not going to hang out with her. Two sons, he says, look, she can take care of it. She's got one arm for one son, one arm for the other. She can manage by herself. I don't need to be with her. I was never interested in Leah. But when there's three sons, hapam, this time, yilavei shielai, my husband will accompany me. Because there were three sons, the father has to help out, and now he'll be with me, he'll accompany me. That's the simple meaning, one cute interpretation of Chizkuni. But what does that got to do with the vision of Levi, of Tumecha v'urechesh elish chasidecha, the Urim v'Tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, will be for Levi. Yosh v'techa Yaakov, they'll teach to Israel, Sim Torah v'apecha, they'll place the offerings on the altar. Omer l'aviv l'molo riti, that they said to their father and mother, I don't know you. They slayed all those who worshipped the idols, even those who were related to them, those who worshipped the golden calf. So how does the negative image of b'sodam al tov nafshi, b'kalam devachat vodik, b'ham ha'guish, the negative image of Jacob, that he says that Shimon and Levi, violence are their tools, that he doesn't want to have anything to do with their counsel, to be with them, and because they killed a man and they uprooted an ox. So what does that got to do with the beautiful vision of a Levi? We all know that Levi is a tribe we know and love. That's the tribe of the high priest, the tribe of the Levites. What does that got to do with that? And what does it have to do with Leah's vision that now my husband will be with me? So, comes up with the following. He says, as far as Leah's vision, Yilaveh ishi elai, my husband will come to me. We know, it says in the prophets, that lo tigru vali tiglu ishi, that one day the Jews will no longer call God our master, Baali, but ishi, my man. It's a closer, more intimate expression. Doesn't involve that sort of hierarchy. So, upon Yilaveh ishi elai, this time through this child, my husband, namely God, will come closer to me. He will be accompany me. He'll get closer with me. Okay, so now we have Leah is on board with Moshe. They're both giving blessings that is going to be a special child. The relationship of God and the Jewish people is connected to Levi. After all, Levi's all about connection because Asimuk Torah v'apecha, Moshe says they're going to put the incense on the altar. Incense is about connecting. Korbanos means to bring closer. They're going to help Jews get closer with God. Good. But What about Jacob's blessing? Jacob didn't give a blessing. He seemed to curse them. Aru rapam, cursed is their anger. And they killed a person. So what are we going to do with that? So Surah Mor, Rabbi Avraham Savang, says as follows. Aru rapam, v'sodam adam nafshi, in plural, Shimon and Levi together, I don't want to have anything to do with them. But if they're separate, then I can do something with one of them, namely Levi, everything will be fine. And in fact, Achal Kim B'Yakov, I'll divide them, because Levi is going to collect his truma and maaser, his tithing, in different cities, wherever the fruit may be. Now, then he has a fascinating interpretation of the blessing of Moshe. Moshe says as follows. He says, Baruch Hashem Chilo, God should bless the valor of the Levites. That was in the first temple, where Moshe and Aaron were the leaders. And they helped the Jews go out of Egypt. Poli Adav Tirtzeh, the work of their hands you should desire, should find favor with you. That's in the first exile. The Medians, where we lived, the Persians, with Mordechai and Esther, they were from the tribe of Benjamin, and the tribe of Benjamin, this is a little bit of a stretch, the control of the Beit HaMikdash, and the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, is related to the Levites, and they killed all the enemies in the story of Purim. And that's why God was happy, because the enemies, the people, the Amalekites, the anti-Semites were killed. He will destroy those who come up against us. That's the Chashmonaim. The Maccabees were those who were Kohanim from the tribe of Levi, but they were also, they made wars against the Greeks in the story of Hanukkah. So therefore, they should be blessed. And then Musanab min Kumun. So what's the fourth expression? That is, their enemies will not rise up again. What's this referring to? When were the Kohanim leaders after the Maccabees? He says, that's in the end of days. The end of days, the Kohanim and Shimon, he says. Then even Shimon will participate to destroy the enemy. So the Torah Mor has a claim that just as in other redemptions in the past, we were able to use the Kohanim to help us, so too in the final victory, Gog and Magog, the Kohanim will help us. I'm not aware of any Midrash to this effect. Of course, there is an idea at the end of days, Eliyahu HaNavi will come. Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, is also from the same as Pinchas, so he's a Kohen. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. Finally, what about Judah? So we know Judah is blessed to be Yodu Chachecha. All the brothers will admit that you are the great leader. You'll be against your enemies. And the Lord Sushay Yudah, the staff of judgment, will not leave you. And we know later on, what we say in Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shema Hashem Kol Yudah, you should listen to Judah. You'll help them. So beautiful statements about Judah. But Leah, what does Leah's statement have to do with the future? Is she a prophetess or not? The Surah Mor says that Yaakov let his wives name the children, generally speaking, because he wanted to show, even though they were related to Lavan, children of Lavan, they were very worthy women. They were able to prophesy. God spoke to them. Although the Gemara in Megillah does not list Leah and Rachel as one of the seven prophetesses, he assumes they are. And they could have said it's just a Ruach HaKodesh, had a good spirit when the baby was born, but he says it's a real prophecy. What's the prophecy? Oded Hashem. Leah, after praying with the birth of Reuven, she said, Rashem Bani, God has seen my affliction. With Shimon, God heard my voice. So she's praying to God. God should hear her. God should see her. With Levi, she says, now this time is going to be, my prayers will be answered. My husband will come to me. And then finally, in the fourth child, she says, oh, now I can relax. This time I'm just going to thank God. I'm not going to worry about my troubles. Yaakov doesn't love me. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to thank God for all these wonderful children I have. That's very nice. But what has that got to do with Judah being the king? So she says, he says two ideas. Number one, lehodot is to thank, but when you thank someone, you're also admitting. Let's say someone gives me $100. So I can say thank you. What does that mean? I have to admit that I owe them something. It's very nice of you to do that. I have to admit it. And that's difficult. So it's apam oder Hashem, I thank you. I admit it. Who is the master of admitting? The tribe of Judah. You see, the reason Judah was chosen is that when Saul was king, when King Shaul was king, Shmuel said, you did the wrong thing. And he says, well, I didn't really do it. I didn't mean to do it. But when Natan HaNavi says to David HaMelech that he gives him a parable, so then he says, Atah, you're the man who stole the one sheep from a man who only had one wife. David says immediately, Chatati L'Hashem, I have sinned to God. He's able to admit his sin. David's not perfect. Generally speaking, kings will be miserable. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely, and that's absolutely true. And therefore, let's say the northern kingdom, one bum after the next, Yeravam and Achav and all the bad kings. But there wasn't one good one. In the south, the Judea, it's not that we had great kings. We had a lot of bad kings. But they can repent. Even Menashe could repent. David could repent. Yoshiyahu could repent from the sins of his father. Chizkiah could repent from the sins of his father. It's the ability to be flexible, to realize you did wrong. So that's why Yehuda is related to confession. That's why she said that confession and thanking God is the essence of Judah. Also, saying that she's going to thank God relates to the king. Why? Because the king is particularly involved in blessing God. How do we know that? Every morning we say it. That every day we say that David blessed God in front of all the people. Or like Shlomo, before he sent everyone away, when they dedicated the temple, we read in the Haftorah, in Shemini Atzeres, that when he sent them away, Shlomo also gave great blessings, the book of Kohelet, he gave blessings to the Jews. So it's the role of the king to give blessings and thanksgivings, and therefore the name of Judah and Yehuda and thanksgiving and admitting relates very much to kingship. As a matter of fact, the name Yehuda has the name of God, which is 26 in Gematria, plus the letter Dalet, which is 4. 4 plus 26 is 30. It says in Pirkei Avos that there are 30 qualities with which kingship is acquired. And therefore, that's why she called him Yehuda. So, but the Torah more, Rabbi Avraham Savan, Sibag, what he's claiming is that Leah is a prophetess. Leah, in each one of her statements about why she named her child what she did, was not just saying that at that moment she was moved to that particular expression, but rather it predicts that which will happen with each one of the tribes. She was a prophetess, and therefore there is a synergy and there's an overlap between the words of Leah, naming the children, which he says is a prophecy, the blessings of Jacob to the tribes, even some of which look more like a curse than a blessing, and the blessings which Moshe will give as well. There are other interpretations for all the 12 tribes. Take a look at the Torah more. It's in Hebrew, it's in English. You can get it on safari.org. And thanks very much for joining us today at the Anshei Sefarad Bethel Emet Congregation. Join us each week for the discussion of the Parsha. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.